This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Let's catch you up. My name is Raya. Our lands have been at war for as long as we can remember. Our people never see eye to eye.
My daughter, I believe our people can come together again. But someone has to take the first step.
Now, in order to restore peace, we must find the last dragon.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. And today we return to movie theaters, basically, for the first release in our cinemas for quite some time. We are talking about the latest from Disney, and that is Raya and the Last Dragon, the first of their films to be, I wouldn't say set in, but to take its inspiration from Southeast Asia.
And they are calling Raya the first Southeast Asian Disney princess. It's co-written by a Malaysian, Adele Lim. So I've been so excited about Raya ever since I first heard about the project. It looked great in the trailers. And I must say, for me at least, it might also be driven by the fact that I finally got to go back to the theatres after so long. Watching this in the cinema was a real treat. Visually, being able to actually see so much of Southeast Asia on screen, I really enjoyed it. And it's a really nice example of this idea of inspired by a place.
So I really loved, I really liked this movie. I don't know if I love this movie, but I'm beginning to think that it might be important to draw a line between Disney Pixar and Disney Disney, because sometimes I forget and the line gets blurred. So going into this, I was expecting Disney Pixar, which isn't fair to the movie itself, but because they have such different themes and such different ways of... Pixar just attacks like anyone, like adults, kids, you know, you get like an emotional beating. And then Disney animation, you're like, it's fun popcorn stuff. So like halfway through, I had to switch expectations and go like, you know, it's not fair for me to want to cry at this film, you know, because it's so touching. I'm just supposed to enjoy it as a Disney vehicle, which was fine, which was okay. In that sense, I liked it a lot.
Oh my God, you just helped me unlock something. You're right. Because before we get into how we each felt necessarily about the movie, just a very quick summation. Essentially, Raya takes place in a fictional fantasy land of Kumandra, which was split up a long time ago over a civil war of sorts, due to fighting over dragon essence. Is that fair? The magic of dragons.
Yes, the magic of dragons. Yeah.
Yes, which had previously saved their lands from the Droon, which is something that emerges in the wake of human conflict. And so the Droon essentially changes everybody into stone, and the dragon magic was able to unlock that. However, because of the war, because they lost it all, the Droon have since overtaken their lands. And that's where we find our princess, or our lead character, Raya, on a quest to try and undo that and to save her land and her family.
And to find the last dragon, essentially.
To find the last dragon, which is where Sisu comes in. And yeah, that pretty much sets us up. And there are a lot of Southeast Asian hallmarks in it. Sometimes it felt like you were in Malaysia or Indonesia or Vietnam. It really felt like you were home. And there was something about that I truly adored. When a durian showed up on screen, when a mata kucing showed up, I got really excited.
Oh, I got so excited about the mata kucing too. But I think it's also this thing of what it means to tell a story from a particular place, right? I loved that this was fantasy. I know that a lot of people were saying, oh, well, if you're doing a Southeast Asian story, why sort of not set it in a particular place? But that's it. Maybe because I love fantasy stories anyway. I loved that you get a temple arch from, you know, Indonesia, but the dragons look like they're actually inspired by Naga, and I love that. So they're all, they're water dragons, the way they are in Southeast Asia versus the fire-related ones in the West. So all of these elements I really like. But more importantly, I actually think that the film did a really great job with its characters. So Raya is a, maybe not my most favorite Disney princess of late, but I feel like she was much more real than some of the other princesses could be, and I liked that. She felt like a real, like a hero in a fantasy movie.
You also have to admire Disney for doing this, right? Because it could have been, it's easily a minefield, saying that you're basing something in Southeast Asia or being the first Southeast Asian, like, Disney princess, Disney protagonist. They could have resorted to so many stereotypes. I was like honestly, when they mentioned it at first, the cynical me was like, okay, so when's the Asian mystic gonna show up in this movie and do something? But they didn't. It was very tactful. I thought it was like very respectful. And the story was not stereotypical Southeast Asian just because it's based in Southeast Asia, which I thought was done very nicely. Having like a global audience, it's important to know what you're saying. Right, and the kinds of stories that you're telling, and I thought it was done nicely.
I'm just going to say straight up that I wanted more. I enjoyed it enough, but I wanted more, and I don't know whether it is. It's probably me. I'm going to say that up front. It's probably me. I haven't been back in a movie theater for ages, and perhaps I pinned too much expectations on this being the first. It was a bit of a triple whammy, right? It's like, oh, it's Disney, it's Southeast Asia, it's first visit back to the cinema in months, and so my expectations were sky high, and I liked it well enough. I feel as if this had come out in the middle of the year, on any other year, I would have felt differently. If this was something that I were catching on television, I would also feel very differently. I do think that it's worth going to the cinema to see because it's beautiful. Did I feel feelings? I did, but it took me a long time to get there. And I think ultimately I like the story. I like the moral of the story more than I like the way in which the story expressed its morals.
I'm trying to think about what didn't work first. I think because I was so overwhelmed by a lot of the stuff that you said, Lynn. Actually, the film is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. There are these scenes that happen, you know, where people are on a boat, on a river, and you know, it's just like there are things that you watch on the big screen that I think I've just missed. The spectacle of just beauty on screen. So the things that I think could have been done better, one for me was a big deal. The fact that this is probably the first Disney princess film in a long time, if ever, that doesn't have any songs. And I think that was a big miss because this film could have used songs. The flow of this story was often felt a little bit single-minded. Like we know the goal. We also know how it's going to end. So some songs would have worked. I also wanted a theme for Raya because I do like Raya. Mm-hmm. The way I have a theme for Moana, the way I have a theme for Ariel. But I think despite all of that, the film has all of these great side characters. They all come together in a way that's not just for fun. They actually have an integral part to play in the plot. And I was fully on for the ride. And the character that I expected not to like, which was Sisu, the dragon voiced by Awkwafina, I actually ended up loving Sisu in the film. And I completely didn't expect that.
Tuk Tuk is so cool, though.
Oh, her little pangolin type ride.
Mm. Oh. Little is little changes through the movie.
Yes.
I also love the fight choreography. I thought the action scenes were something else. So apparently they fused together few fight styles, I think 5 or 6 different fight styles from Southeast Asia. Silat is one of them. But also they didn't make it the selling point, which goes back to what I said before. They didn't make any of these quote-unquote very Asian things the selling point of the film. I like that. I love the pacing. I love the choreography. I love the fact that the movie is never ever boring. So there's never a dull moment. There's never a time when I went, okay, let's get on with it. This is too much or too slow. And I felt like the runtime is kind of short, but it wasn't too short that made it feel sort of like, you know, it just ended abruptly. And it wasn't too long to make me bored at any point.
Huh. So I felt like the movie was paced. Look, I really can't explain it. If you asked me whether I thought this worked on a technical level, on an editing level, on a voice and animation level, I would agree with both of you. But if you asked me whether I thought the running time was too short, I don't agree. But then if you asked me what I would cut, I don't have anything. So it's a very weird feeling. I think it all comes down to I was expecting, I think, more engagement on my part. I was expecting to find it funnier, to be more moved. And ultimately, I found it entertaining and nice. And you know, nice isn't what I wanted. I wanted more.
I think I can see that. Even though I didn't feel that way, I think I can feel that because there's a certain, I don't know, there's stuff about this film that I constantly felt like I wanted more of in a way that there wasn't there. I know that I'm not going to look back in 10 years and rank Raya as one of my favorite ever Disney films, you know? And I would with Moana. So it's not a question of having watched it when you're at a certain age. I think it's got something to do with the grandness of the storytelling, maybe. I get it. But that didn't detract from the fact that this particular experience for me was maybe a little stronger than what it was for Lynn.
So speaking of more, I want to see a sequel.
I love the world.
Yeah. I would see like a whole trilogy with these characters and just like expanding because there is the kind of hint at like an expanded folklore that you can go places from here. And if they made a sequel like in a couple of years, a few years, I'd definitely watch it.
So we're talking today about Raya and the Last Dragon, which is the latest from Disney. It was directed by Don Hall and Carlos Lopez Estrada. It was voiced by Kelly Marie Tran, Awkwafina, Jemmet Chan, Daniel Dae-Kim, a whole host of really strong Asian American, Canadian Asian, British Asian stars, a whole, you know, very, very strong voice cast. And we'd like to know, have you seen it? Do you plan to head out to the cinemas to watch it? Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvind. Together we are reviewing Raya and the Last Dragon, which was just released recently, and talking about the world, the voices, just the way it looked. And I think I wanted to dwell a little bit on the voicing. So I thought that Kelly Marie Tran, considering especially the very rough ride she has had with Disney and its fans, did such a beautiful job. I thought Raya was very believably and very emotionally voiced, which I enjoyed.
Kelly Marie Tran was great. I really thought Raya was brought to life by her voice, especially because she actually has to do a lot of things and be very different in different contexts, right? Because she's sort of, she's a warrior on the one hand. She's also grieving in a certain sense, but she's also around children and sort of funny characters. And so, I loved her. I also really loved, actually, I thought uniformly the voice cast for this was really strong. I mentioned Awkwafina earlier, but, I was worried she'd be like Eddie Murphy in Mulan, where you're just there for the sort of the kicks.
I love Eddie Murphy in Mulan.
I liked Mushu at that point. Mm. Over time, it sort of started grating on me. Maybe because he sounds too much like Donkey from Shrek. And so I just can't deal with it. But there's a sweetness to how Sisu is animated, which I think suits the way Awkwafina voiced her. And so I really thought the voice cast was stellar.
I'm just happy that Kelly Marie Tran is getting like her due, because she was supposed to get that with Star Wars, and she was unfortunately like Lucasfilm buckled under like toxic fan pressure.
You say Lucasfilm, it's actually the same studio.
Yeah, but let's aim at Lucasfilm. So you know they buckled, and she didn't get what was due, and she was supposed to be important to that universe. I'm so glad that at least she still has that. And I can see, like, you know, mentioning like trilogies before, I can see Raya becoming like a staple in the Disney animated universe, like going on to have like a part 2 and part 3 and becoming like a sort of icon in that league. For that alone, I'm like happy that she's there, that she's got there.
Well, I think part of the reason why the world, and I say this despite my reservations, I think part of the reason why the world will extend so well is because of the side characters. So we've already talked about Tuk Tuk, but there's a Con Baby, which I love so much.
Yes, you say Con Baby, and who doesn't want to watch it already?
And it's a serious Con Baby, you guys. Like, this baby runs cons. And, you know, I really enjoyed watching these characters. And because Raya herself is quite a serious character. I think she's more in the vein of your Elsa than your Anna. You know, to go back to yesterday's show, she's more serious. Her life has been shaped by trauma. In fact, the whole thing about Raya and the Last Dragon and the world of Kumandra that we find ourselves in is that it is very, very traumatized. It is a world that is shaped in many ways by loss and by war and by fighting. And they don't shy away from that, which I like. but also leads me to, I guess, that point about emotional engagement. And this is something that you brought up earlier off air, Sharmila, and that is the lack of a pantomime villain, I suppose, you know, that Disney used to specialize in. And recently they've just gone more in the lines of, we're all a little bit, aren't we?
No, that's exactly it. And when you were talking about wanting more, I mentioned songs earlier. I'm also wondering whether some of that is from the villain. I do like the nemesis in the film, Namari. She's one of the other kingdoms. Is it a daughter? Yeah, yeah. So she's from one of the other kingdoms, and she's essentially Raya's nemesis. She's voiced by Gemma Chan. And really, how that character builds and develops is great. I love watching both of them on screen. But at some point, I was thinking, these drones that are essentially just clouds, purple clouds that turn people into stone, they're no Jafar or Ursula. Like, I want that sort of, like, trope. And maybe I miss that to a certain extent. And we haven't seen those in a while.
So this is this goes back to what I said about Pixar and Disney. So Pixar can get away with the droon. They'd know how to use that as a...
And the grayness of people.
Yeah. It's like, you know, whatever they do with, like, metaphors and allergies and all that, they know how to spin that. And the droon would be, like, a legit villain because it would be, like, the darkness in people or something. But Disney, I don't think Disney animation, either one, they didn't want to get that deep, or they didn't know how to get that deep. So there's that separation, right? And I think when I sort of, like, switched off the Pixar brain, then I was like, okay, the drone is fine. They're just bad things that do bad things.
Actually, that's literally it. Like, there's no more depth to it.
There's no more depth to it. But yeah, basically expectations.
So the thing about the drone, right, and the pointing out that if it were Pixar, perhaps they would develop that a little further, as is, the origins of the droon is practically in a throwaway line. And a lot of the meditation on what it means to be from incomplete families, or families that are now rendered incomplete because of this thing, and because people fundamentally couldn't get along, that takes place in small scenes. And I think, on the one hand, in a movie for children, you maybe don't want to spend so much time going on about death and destruction, which the world of Raya really takes place in. But on the other hand, it feels, therefore, like maybe you're not pushing the buttons enough. And gosh, I'm working through a lot of stuff on air, but I feel as if because of the year of trauma / nothingness that most of us have gone through, where it's a mixture of intense boredom and intense anxiety, Raya feels like an extension of that. And I think maybe I wanted more escapism, and the beauty wasn't enough for me to escape from the fact that fundamentally Raya the movie is so much tied to 2020 and 2021, this idea of coming from a world that is very, very different and trying to restore it. And I don't know, I guess I wanted more escapism.
If I may offer an alternative, in case there are people who are on my sort of my frame of mind, at least, for me, actually, the beauty, the sheer joy of watching, you know, greens in the forests that looked like forests here, outdoors, and lakes and rivers and animals and people frolicking in the air and the water. For me, that was enough. Like, for me, I think if nothing else, even if I can poke holes in the story, even if I can say I wanted the princess to be more memorable or whatever, after the year that we've had, this gave me a lot of joy. And I think it's fair what you're saying, Lynn. And I think that there are bound to be more people who feel that way. But I also think perhaps there are others who will just want some of this sort of, like, beauty, which we've been missing.
You know what I'm curious about? Like, the ones who legit enjoy it a lot, are they mostly kids versus the ones who are, like, aware, quote unquote, of what we're going through?
Which is fine,
right? But do you think, like, kids, because they have less awareness, they are not as tied to work culture, work from home, and all the changes that we've gone through. Do you think, like, this would be more escapism for them instead?
So actually, what makes me the most sad about Raya is that it's not a post-Frozen world where we'll actually get to see kids out and about watching it in cinemas and dressing up, because that's the only way we'll know. And that makes me sad, because here it's in the cinemas. Kids are probably not going to go. We don't have Disney Plus, so they're not going to watch it at home. So I don't know is the answer, and that kind of makes me sad.
And it's for us. I mean, in many ways, Disney doesn't always make films that would hit so directly the hearts or the eyes of Malaysians, meaning it's set more or less in our home. It's in our backyard. You will recognize the trees in Raya, you know, and that's a crazy thing to say. Mm. It's such a rare thing. And you know, it's not Hawaii. Most of the time they, when they're like, it's the tropics, it's actually Hawaii.
There's a hibiscus.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And so, I do think it's a pity that a movie that is geared in some ways towards representing Asians and Southeast Asia, not just Kung Fu and Mulan and Honor to Your Family a la, you know, China. I think it's a pity that it won't be seen here. I do want to say that despite my hesitation, I completely agree with you, Sharmila. I totally see that point of view. I think I just wish I felt it.
Yeah, and I see that. I immediately wanted to watch it in the cinema again, but I coupled that with still saying it's not going to fall anywhere on my top five.
Mm-hmm. I would rank it as enjoyable while it lasted, like really enjoyable while it lasted.
Mm. And I would say agree with all that. And if you can, if it's safe for you to watch it in the cinema, partly to support our local cinema industry who have really had a rough go of it, but also because it's worth seeing on a big screen. It's gorgeous. So yeah, let us know. Have you seen Raya and the Last Dragon? Do you plan to? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.